Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. If you've been following along, you know that I'm not in Chicago. I'm not at our home base, but I'm actually visiting Bosnia. And I'm bringing you some incredible stories. You've been in the streets of Bosnia. And if you haven't watched those, you can go to our social media pages and check out from the mountains, from the rural areas to the city. And now we're in the studio. I'd like to thank all the brothers helped make it happen here at Studio 5 in Sarajevo. And I got another exciting guest. Damir, how are you? Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
How you been? How you doing?
I'm fine.
Karate champion.
Yeah.
You know anything about the Karate Kid?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Miyagi, right?
Wax Miyagi, on, yeah. Wax this
off. Were those your humble beginnings?
Yes, anything of like course. That? Yeah. First I watched Karate Kid, then I go in the gym.
So that helped motivate you, huh?
Of course.
Yeah. So you've been training karate for how long?
I'm in karate for 18 years now. Exactly.
18 years.
I'm now 28. I start with 10 years.
Yeah.
When I was 10 years.
And you're still training karate?
Yeah, I'm still karate.
I heard Bosnia has one of the strongest teams in Europe in karate. Is that true?
That's true. We had been maybe two times the second place in the world.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah,
so. And karate is the most popular sport in this country.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I'm very satisfied, and I understand now why people, not now, before many years, but I understand. And the kids, they like karate. First, we have many movies about karate, and then when they try it, they like it.
Yeah, do you like Bruce Lee?
I like him. Why not?
Yeah, everybody, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
He's like the
yes.
King of martial arts. Huh?
Yes.
But he's gone.
Yeah.
So is Elvis Presley. So is Anna Nicole Smith. So is you know, a countless array of others. You know. And that's where the turning point in your life, as you were talking about, was the sad incident that happened with your father?
Yes, my father, he
can you talk about that? Can you elaborate about what happened?
Of course. So, my father, he passed away in 2006. Actually, I was that 17 years old, and it was very hard attack for my family, because our father, he was number one, and he was just working, and all the money is coming from him, and I had one mother and two sisters. And when he passed away, I started to think about death. And I saw everybody will die. Because actually at that time, I thought my father, he will never die. He's like my God, you know?
How did he die?
In a car accident.
Car accident.
But what's interesting, he was a professional driver. And he was driving, he had a car license for a truck, for... So heavy-duty cars, so a car, it's nothing for him. And subhanAllah, take him from this world in a car accident.
Mm.
So, and at that time, my first words I told at that time when he passed away was, Alhamdulillah. I don't know how, because...
You just said, thank God.
Thank God, just thank God. So, and then... What myself? Nobody told me you should now pray, you should do this. Just I start to follow my heart, and I start to read a book about death. I see many people are dying, and something should be on the other world. And step by step, you know, I was trying to be honest to God, to Allah, and I ask Him every day, please show me the right way. And Alhamdulillah, step by step, you know, I feel more comfortable. And I didn't know, at that time, I didn't know how to pray, nothing. I just went to the masjid when it was Jummah, Salatul Jummah, and I was just looking people, you know, how they're praying. I'm just following them and wudu. I didn't know anything about Islam. But after that accident, so at that time, this was my worst point in my life. But actually, now I see that was my best. The best thing what happened in my life.
Well, I mean, that's just, you know, when people are able to, when they're in a situation, they can't see, they don't realize the wisdom of what's going on, but you have reliance on your Creator. Now, yeah. When you look back, you can start to slowly, you start to see some of the reasons why, the wisdom, and you see that it's actually, it was good for you, whatever you went through.
Yes.
Tell me, before, now you're an athlete, you know, You're probably living life like a normal young man, right? And how was life before then, like without Islam?
During my life, during my father was alive, we didn't have any contact with Islam. So I lived in a family, family, everything was open. I was in the national team of Boston Karate, so we were just traveling each weekend. We were going somewhere outside Bosnia, so it's just party, you know, party, girls. But to be honest, never at that time I feel comfortable with myself. You know, this was just the moments during I'm doing the party with my friends, I'm with the girls, you know. At that time I'm laughing, but when I come home back, to be honest, I start to cry because I didn't feel comfortable. Everybody say, you know, that's good part you're doing, you know, you're like good guy, but actually I didn't feel good.
Something's missing?
Big missing, you know. Yeah. So
there's a void in the heart.
Yes.
That's how many people describe it. Like there's something, yes. Just a void. There's it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and when my father when he died, I just recognized that I will die.
Yeah.
And this is not the way I should live. And I feel that I should come back to my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the only way. And I start, but to be honest, when I start to pray, you know, my challenge was the Fajr, Salat al-Fajr. Why? Because I couldn't understand how somebody can wake up in the middle of the night to pray, you know?
That you couldn't wrap your mind around that?
I couldn't.
Because
really.
We do the prayer. I mean, as Muslims, we pray obviously five times a day. So Damir is talking about the specific prayer that before the sunrise, you get up and you pray, and you're like, how can they do that? It's very challenging,
yes,
to get up.
And this was my biggest challenge about Islam.
Yeah.
Because during my university days, I had my friend, he was from our 300, he was the only guy who prayed at that time. So I was fascinating with him, you know, he was so calm and he was praying Fajr. And I asked him, you know, how you can pray Fajr? Okay, all other salahs you can pray, it's day, but Fajr? So I started with Fajr. I challenged myself because I'm a karate, I'm a competitor.
You focused.
I focus on Fajr, just, yeah. Fajr. And when I establish Fajr, I add one more. Like I add Dhuhr, you know, Salah.
Yeah, the second.
And one time, it was 2 days before Ramadan, I complete all five. And then I sit with myself and I told myself, because this is what karate sport teach me. If you be on, you take one good level, you should stay there, not go down.
Yeah.
So I told myself, I cannot stop more. I cannot go now to pray tomorrow five times. I must pray five. At that time, that day, and alhamdulillah, until today, I'm praying five times a day. And this is the most important thing now for me.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? That anything that Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth, told us to do, as Muslims, ones who've submitted to the will of God, you see that sometimes you see, sometimes you don't, but there's wisdom behind these things, right? And we don't do it because of that, but we benefit from those blessings. I've read, you know, many articles where these are people who are not practicing Islam, but not Muslim, but they talk about the benefits of starting your day early.
Yeah.
Start getting up, like there's a saying that the early bird gets the worm, right?
Yeah.
So for well-being and wellness and even health benefits, getting up around the time we get up, 5-6 in the morning,
yeah,
right? And that's prescribed for us without us having to figure it out in the Salat,
yeah,
in Islam. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
So now you are implementing Islam. You're researching, you're studying, but now you talk about some of the challenges, struggles. It wasn't just a walk in the park, was it?
Of course not.
No.
So at that time, I was, to be honest, one of the most important members in our family. Our family is a huge family. And when I was a nasty guy, you know, when I started to practice Islam, I didn't have a father. So I was living with my mother and two sisters. And the next 5 or 6 years, I was the worst guy in the family. So nobody, you know, the family was giving me some support, like money support, you know, they cut that. So, you know, my mother, after maybe 1 year, she told me, I cannot look you, you're praying, doing all the Islamic things, leave my house.
Why?
Just because I started to be good. Just because I was praying, you know.
But hold on, before you said you were a party guy, you're hanging out, the nightclubs, going out. Did they have any objection to that?
Nothing.
Changing, you know, when men going out, you know, abusing women, not, you know, what kids do, you know what I mean? Not even thinking about it, just changing women. Nobody's objecting to that?
No, this was excellent.
That's a real big disrespect to women, actually. But now you want to respect them, you don't want to fool around. You're getting serious with life. You're not talking about, you know, doing some crazy stuff. You just want to please your creator. There's a problem now.
Yeah,
that's crazy, isn't it?
Of course. And, you know, at that time, this was the most tough period in my life.
Yeah.
But actually, from the other side, this was my most beautiful part of the life, because I was never so satisfied with myself.
Mm.
Because I knew I'm close to my Lord.
Yeah.
And actually, at that time, I was alone. Nobody was with me. Not my friends, not my family, my mother. I was walking on the street, you know, I was hungry, no money. To be honest, I sleep on the road, you know.
Wait, she kicked you out?
She kicked me out.
You were kicked out, just driven out of your own home?
Just like that.
So wait, your parents, technically, they're like, are they, because from the former Yugoslavia, you had many people who were communists, so they left religion, right?
Yes.
So were they of that mindset?
Same.
So they're like atheists?
Yes, like atheists.
Yeah, okay. So they kicked you out?
They kicked me out.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I was satisfied. I was, every day I was praying and continue my way, because I knew this is the right way. And one day Allah will change all this, because this is what he told us. And that time I was just reading, you know, in Quran and the our authentic books. And we had like one meeting, family meeting, a big family meeting, and I was surprised when they invited me, because I was now kicked out.
But now they called you somehow because the family is getting together?
Yes.
So you got an invite,
yes,
right? Okay. And maybe the mother is more soft, right? She's maybe missing you. She won't tell you. She wants to see you.
Maybe she told them because, you know, I want that my son be here with us. We don't like him, but he should be with us.
And they don't, it's not that they don't like you because you're a troublemaker. You stop being a troublemaker and you just start praying fast. That you just started, being a Muslim.
I was sitting one time with them and they just, you know, they just speak about other people on the bad way.
Yeah.
And I was not talking with them.
Yeah.
This took me 2 hours. After 2 hours, the chairman of our family, my uncle, he just jumped, stand up and said, this guy's crazy. He don't want even speak bad about people.
Because in you know, many people don't know this aspect. It's actually a major sin, and many, you know, houses would be saved, marriages, relationships, if people don't gossip behind each other's backs.
Yeah.
So you weren't jumping in, because usually people will have dinner, they'll hang out, and instead of talking about something productive, they're talking about he said, she said, talking about people behind people's back, and you didn't want to have no part of that. So you got in trouble for that, huh?
And they kicked me out again.
Yeah.
So anywhere at the time I came, they kicked me just out.
Now, let me ask you this. Hold on. Let me be, you know, objective here. No, actually, I'm going to play on the other side and think like, hold on. Because sometimes when people do accept Islam, they get a little bit, some people are over enthusiastic, rigid, and they come at people a little bit rough. Was there some of that, that maybe you like scared them off a little bit? Or maybe when you look back, were you a little bit too tough?
I was a little bit too tough.
Yeah.
Maybe because at that time I saw what's Islam, and I just want that everybody from my family, my friends, start practicing.
Most people want people to develop on your spiritual time clock.
Yes.
Yeah.
To be honest, this was my situation. Yeah. I was like that. A little bit tough, you know, at that time. I should be maybe more soft, but, you know, I was alone.
Yeah.
So I thought this is the right way.
Yeah.
I didn't shout on them. I didn't say bad words. Just I was, you know, if I sit with them, if they start to she said, he said, I just stop. I didn't speak.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. Sometimes, but it happened like that.
People's inexperiences and usually in the beginning phases are like that. So what happens now? So now they invite you back to the house.
And
what happens?
At that time, I I finished my course for reading Arabic letters, and I start to read Quran on the way to recognize Quran, and they invite me. So the reason was because my cousin from Germany, he read all the Quran, you know, and he was younger than me, and so, you know, they just search for a reason to make a meeting, and they invite me, and he read the Quran. Mm-hmm. So everybody was listening to him. But actually, his reading was like Chinese, you know. Somebody teach him very bad, so... But I was just listening to him.
How were they getting... Because they were more... You were mentioning that they weren't into religion.
Yes.
And now they're... You know, are they coming around? How did
it work? It was at that time, same thing. Because this cousin was young, and he... In Germany, somebody teach him there. Some of friends, or I don't know. And... They didn't have problem with that because he's just reading. He's doing nothing, no practicing, nothing. And when he finished one page, everybody kissed him, give him money, you know, money. And then one guy from the family, one member, he told, "Let us hear Damir, what he."
Now they want you to recite.
Me, yes.
Yeah.
And okay, I accept it. And I start to read Quran. Two pages I read. And, you know, for 6 years, I had all these problems with the family, and I get very emotional. And of course, you're reading Quran, and I start crying, you know. And subhanAllah, at that time, when I finished, I was reading two pages, and when I finished, I just start watching the people around me. Everybody was crying. And my mother, she cried. She came to me and started to hug me. My mother, she didn't hug me maybe for 5 years, you know. And very emotional moment for me and for all the families, and they start then to shout, "You told this Damir, see, he is reading, he is a good guy." And subhanAllah, from that time, Allah changed the situation in my life. I get married, I get a good job, and now 80% of the family, they're practicing Islam, you know. And when I see my family before and now, of course, this is Allah opened the way for them, but the Quran at that time changed everything. And alhamdulillah, now, you know, my mother and my sisters practicing, they are wearing hijab, you know. So, yes, everything is different, totally different.
MashaAllah. So that situation, it went from that 5-6 years of just life being in a total, what you would think is a catastrophe, right? To you holding on steadfast. And now, looking back, they're actually all, the majority practicing, right?
Yeah, majority.
Amazing. SubhanAllah.
Yeah. To be honest, my mother, she's praying better than me now, you know, longer time. When she prays, she, alhamdulillah. And,
now, what if you gave up? Many people, because Allah tells us in the Quran, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُوا. Do you think that you'll be left alone and just saying, "I believe," and you won't be tested? Many people, they get tested and they don't rely on Allah, and what happens? Then they don't end up seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, you follow me? So this story is really, you know, amazing and unique, that it shows that when you hold on, when you trust in your Creator, it's just like you have a good friend who'll never let you down. He said, "I'll be there," right?
Yes.
But you trust him, you know, and you don't give up that trust on a good friend. But what about the one who created you? Many people just, they forsake Allah, they don't trust in Allah, and then what do you expect? But you never gave up.
Never, alhamdulillah.
Yeah. And now, how's life now for you?
Now it's totally different, you know. At that time I was alone, I had nobody, no money. Now I have three companies. I'm doing the construction business, property business, real estate, you know. I have a big family now, and what was down, now it's up, you know. So totally different.
So no family, kicked out of the home, no place to sleep. Basically, you were boycotted,
yes,
right? You were boycotted, and then the situation just took a 180, a turn, and...
Totally.
Yeah. So what advice do you give for people? I mean, who are kind of just going with the flow. Ramadan comes around, and maybe they'll fast a few days, right? Call Ramadan Muslims.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they'll go... Some people might go to Juma, might not, right? I had a really good friend here that is also Muslim. he believes he's a really good person. He's a genuinely and trying his best, but it's just very difficult. For some reason, he won't make the salat. You know what I mean? He says, "I believe I'm a Muslim, whatnot." What do you, when you connect with people, like, what advice do you give them?
My advice is that I have one sentence for myself. The sentence that Allah is the most important. If I want to do something which I know Allah is not satisfied, I said just to myself, Allah is the most important. And this sense is everything in my life. And salah is number one. Because I'm now in business, I'm just working, wake up early. Just with this salah, this is my break. And 5 minutes, I'm taking my break. And to be honest, it's totally refreshment for me. Mm. You know, I'm trying in the salah to be focused in the salah. And after that, again, I'm in a business, and salah is number one. Mm-hmm. So people who say, "I'm Muslim but no salah," they have a big problem. They don't know actually, they don't have that connection with the Lord. And the second most important thing is that I must be honest with myself, with my Lord. I know, everybody know, feel that, like I feel at that time. So I must be honest with me. Am I good or not? So every day we should make a test for ourselves. Mm-hmm. What I did or what I should do. So This is what I'm trying to do every day.
Well, see, it's amazing when you read some of the biographies and you listen to some of the people that people look up to, the Oprah Winfrey's of the world. You know Oprah Winfrey?
Yes, of course.
Many of these, she's, I believe, a billionaire now. And other people who are at that status, they look for things in their life to make them more complete, right? And many of them, a great majority, they have a spiritual time where they cut off from the world and they dedicate 20, 30 minutes, and maybe they just go in a dark room, they go, right? They call it meditation, spirit, because they feel the soul is yearning for that. But we have that in Salah, right?
Right.
We don't need a billionaire to tell us. No. We don't need anybody. We have that. So people are robbing themselves. Allah don't need the prayer. Allah don't need, you know, anything from us. But that's for us. And it's very sad that people, that's that medicine, the food for the soul. And when you neglect that, you're neglecting your heart and soul,
yes.
Right? So you kept to the prayer, right? You didn't give it up. You didn't give up hope. And a young man, what about for the people who feel like they just feel the pressure from the culture, right? They're scared to go in the masjid, or they're scared to, because they're going to be bullied, right? They're going to, it's, I'll do that. Many people, they say, "Oh, I'll get religious." Some Muslims, and when I'm older, you know, right? When I'm 50, 60, 70 years old, what do you say to them?
From my side, I'm just thinking that maybe I'll die tomorrow.
Ah, death.
Death. So, because my father died, and from that day, I think every day I will die, to be honest. And I'm doing my best to finish all my obligations at that day. And alhamdulillah, before 2 years, I went first time in Hajj. And again this year in Hajj with my wife. And I'm planning not to stop. Because alhamdulillah, now Allah give me money, you know. And I can do this. Because in our country, it's very hard to go Hajj. Because it's very expensive. People are not... have so big salaries, you know, they're sometimes collecting the money for 20, 30 years. But now I can do it because I think always I will not be able to live the next Hajj. So this will be my last. That death is number one for me.
Yeah.
It's always, you know, scaring me, and I'm trying to be better.
Yeah.
And I just want to tell one advice to people, to youth who want to practice Islam, have similar problems like me. At that time, I was reading too much, you know. And what I did, I prepare myself always to have a good answer. A short answer, but a good answer. And now, after 10 years, people, my uncle or some people from my family, they told me, "When you told me that answer, I just start to think about your answer." This is not from myself. I read it. Somebody told, but I just want to copy this.
Yeah.
And maybe five people told me from that moment you told this sentence, I was just thinking about that, and that changed my life.
Yeah.
So that means we must read, we must improve our knowledge.
Mm-hmm. That was, we're almost out of time, but what we started off with was the story of, you know, may Allah open all of our hearts to really reflect on that, the reality of death. And the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he talked about, think often of the destroyer of pleasures. And people are indulging in so many of the pleasures, but the smart person, he reflects of, hey, I can die tomorrow, right? And that's what the advice you're giving is don't think you if you're going to make it until tomorrow, you follow me? And that's not saying to forsake this world, right? Have it in your hand, not in your heart, but be prepared for the ultimate reality that death can come at any time.
Anytime.
And you don't just turn to dust. Hey, you're going to be accountable for everything you did in this life.
Yes.
How is life now for you as far as that void, right? The void in your heart that was there, is that gone? Do you feel now that you've accomplished the greatest thing, that finding your purpose, living purpose, you know? How is that?
Now, of course, now I have everything in my life. The most important thing is the Islam, and my family is number one. My mother, I'm living with my mother. My sisters, they get married. And I will never, ever leave my mother alone. I told my wife at that time when I was want to marry her, we will live with my mother, because in Islam, the mother is number one for the man. And I told her, if my mother asks me something, and you ask me something, first I will go to my mother, then I will come to you. And never, ever you'll be in front of my mother. And so I'm doing my best that my family is satisfied. And to be honest, now I have money, and money is coming, but I'm satisfied with the small things, because we're praying, my family is there, I must have time for my family, and that's the religion and family, that's it. So to be honest, I don't need anything, a little bit traveling, that's it. So
yeah.
Now it's, and the family, where everything is great, you know.
Yeah, one last piece of advice for the not yet Muslims, because I always say that everyone has the potential to submit their will to God. They hear a lot of the misconceptions. They hear about Muslim terrorism, all this stuff. This is the kind of stuff we deal back with back home, you know, the oppression of women, all that. What advice do you give for those people who tune into the Dean Show and they're hearing about Islam for the first time? Or they watch some episodes and they like the message of pure monotheism and prayer and all the good things that we do, you know, but they're a little bit timid, scared. What advice do you give for them?
My advice then, because I believe I was not a Muslim, because if you are honest yourself, you will see that you're not satisfied. Something you miss. With Islam, you will get everything. Maybe to you will happen good things, bad things, but you will always be satisfied. And this is the most important thing. You will not need anything, just you will need your Lord, and He will give you everything. So with Islam, everything what happened to you is great, and you feel good because you have an answer of all things happened to you, and that feeling that you're satisfied, that feel calm, that's the most important. And nobody can tell me this money is number one. I have no money. I see money is nothing. You know, just this feeling, this Islam, and five times praying and be with your Lord. That's it. I cannot, of course, explain this feeling, but they should try.
Yeah.
They should try.
You got the whole world and everything to gain and nothing to lose. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nama, for being with us. Jazakallah.
Oh,
and I want to thank you guys for tuning in, helping you connect with different people from different ways of life, and then finding this way of life that brings that solace, that brings that peace. And like we talked about, the reality of death should wake the hearts up to know that we're going to die. And you're going to leave everything behind. You can't take the fancy houses and the fancy cars and all that money. At the end, is going to be worthless. But what you did in this life, how you lived this life, did you connect with one who created you? Did you live it according to the blueprint that He sent to all the messengers that delivered the same message? Worship the Creator, not the creation. And that's all summed up in one word, Islam. It's all there. So much to gain and so much to lose. Because you're going to eventually leave this dunya, this world behind. And then what did you prepare for the next life? And if you like what we had to talk about on this week's show, continue to tune in. I'm in Bosnia here and meeting, bringing some wonderful stories. Continue to tune in. Subscribe if you haven't already. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.